Chapter 31. A number of exterior cams provided a view of the sodium plain surrounding the base, and a few of those cams had survived the long years of inactivity. Finn peered through a viewing apparatus in the control room, reporting on what he saw. Leia had been called away to record the request for help that would be beamed to the outer rim, and in her absence, the tension in the room grew as soldiers and crewers pushed beyond their limits, allowed their despair to show. Poe and Rose, at least, were filling the anxious minutes trying to find something, anything, that might change their situation. The General's message might be heard, but it would do no good if allies arrived to find the base a charred wreck and no one left to save. Poe had sent the droids to find schematics of the base and ordered Tex to get the decrepit artillery emplacements working as a last line of defense, while Rose was inventorying anything they might be able to repair and use in a fight, from speeder bikes to ski speeders. Finn, for his part, was using the exterior cams to study what the First Order intended to throw at them in a ground battle. He was certain those were heavy walkers that the dropships had landed, AT-ATs, and maybe also the heavy AT-M6s. Depending on the First Order's assessment of their defenses, there might also be AT-STs and speeder bikes, supporting troops as pickets. And there would be TIE fighters providing air cover. One thing puzzled Finn, however. A dozen huge First Order transports were descending in perfect formation. That didn't match any procedure he was familiar with. And after a moment, he saw that they were lowering a massive cylinder. It touched down, and a moment later, Finn could feel the ground shake. He cranked up the magnification on the scope and shook his head when he saw what they had delivered. "A battering ram cannon," he reported grimly. "Miniaturized Death Star tech. He'll crack this door open like an egg." That was it then. The instrument of their doom.
"There has to be a back way out of here, right?"
Rose asked. BB-8 rolled up to them, beeping. C-3PO tottered along in the eager astromech's wake. All eyes turned to the droids with whatever hope could be mustered. Behind the two droids, Finn saw the glowing eyes of more crystal foxes. The creatures had gotten over their fear of the Resistance members and seemed curious about them, though they remained easily spooked.
BB-8 has analyzed the mine schematics. This is the only way in or out.
Another impact rattled the control room as the First Order continued testing the strength of the massive door. The faces around him were bleak with despair. Even Poe's. Finn shook his head. He hadn't come this far to just let the First Order win, and he knew none of the rest of them had either. They just needed to remember that.
"We have allies," he said. "People believe in Leia. They'll get our message. They'll come, but we have to buy time."
"Time for what?" a pilot asked in despair.
"For help to come," Finn said. "For Rey to return with Skywalker. For Leia to figure out a plan. For the First Order to mess up. For a miracle. What are we going to do? Not fight? We have to take out that cannon."
Poe nodded, smiling at Finn. And Rose grinned.
"You said the magic word," she said.
"What? Fight?"
Finn asked. She shook her head and gave him another smile, one with real affection. Her eyes, he saw, were wet.
"We..."
"Load up," Poe said. "Let's do it."
The ski speeder hangar became an assembly line, with Rose and several other newly minted technicians directing astromechs to check each craft's systems and make a determination. Ready to fly? Needs repairs? Cannibalized for parts. No ski speeder fell into the first category. But with a little creative thinking and hasty tinkering, Rose and the techs were able to get 13 ships primed and powered, even amid the rhythmic booms of impacts on the shield door and reports that the First Order had landed tug walkers and started dragging their siege cannon across the salt plains. The ski speeders had begun their existence as civilian craft, built to capitalize on a long-ago fad for asteroid slalom racing. An oversized engine was set amidships, with outriggers on either side, one for the gyroscopic cockpit, the other for an equipment boom. Below the engine was a halo-foil monoski, designed to keep the speeder anchored. It was locked into a guide in the floor, one that led to a launch chute at the end of the hangar. The demise of the asteroid slalom craze had consigned most ski speeders to the galaxy's junkyards, but a few had survived and found new life as explorer craft in asteroid settlements, and Krait's anti-imperial insurgents had put them to use as patrol vehicles. The Krait techs had crafted twin laser cannons onto the equipment boom, locked out the cockpit's rotation, and up-armored the ski speeders with surplus hull plating. Rose had to salute those techs. They'd done ingenious work. But the ski speeders had been intended to tackle smugglers or pirates. The vanguard of a First Order army was way more than any sane person would expect them to be able to handle. Poe was helping General Emat prepare a last line of defense in Krait's warren of trenches. As she waited for him to arrive in the hangar, Rose tried to figure out how to tell him of her reservations. She'd only stammered through the beginning of her litany when he held up his hand.
I know, he said. It's like someone knocked over a museum nobody wanted to visit in the first place. But it's what we've got, so we'll make the best of it. Anyway, 13 birds is a lot more than I thought we could get flying. Great work.
At least tell your pilots they've got to pick their targets, Rose said, scrubbing engine grease off her hands. Those fire linkages are brittle, and you'll overload them if you shoot at everything that moves.
Good idea, Poe said. But why don't you tell them yourself, since you're going up with us?
Me?
Rose looked at him in disbelief.
I'm a maintenance tech, not a pilot, remember?
When's the last time you tightened a pipe? Poe asked.
About a minute ago.
Okay, fine, but that's not the point. You landed that shuttle with 6 ties on your tail, and a big damn door closing on top of you, didn't you?
Crashed it, you mean?
A wise man once told me any landing you can walk away from is a good one, Poe said. Besides, who's gonna look after Finn?
Rose saw that Finn was fumbling with a pilot's headset. He looked up, saw Rose's surprise, and crossed his arms over his chest.
What? I'm the guy who's most familiar with what they're gonna throw at us, and the only one who's ever seen that big cannon of theirs.
This isn't like flying a shuttle, which you were kind of bad at.
I'll just do what you do. How hard can it be?
Poe stepped in before Rose could reply.
You see, this is why we need you.
Rose started to object, but Poe shushed them. Leia had entered the hangar, C-3PO following behind.
Red Squadron used these same speeders to fight off Imperial scouts, Leia said. And I flew one on that mission. According to Poe, that makes me an expert.
A few of the pilots and crewers smiled, though some of the younger pilots looked astonished. Leia saw their reaction and managed not to roll her eyes.
The ski's there for stability. It's to make sure your engine provides thrust and not lift, she said. Help it do its job. You go airborne, you're an easy target.
She eyed them to make sure they'd registered that, then continued.
First Order's landed heavy walkers. They're using ties as air support. The walkers are muscle, designed to take out artillery and ground defenses. You can't outslug them, so don't try. But you can outfly them. The ties will be a bigger threat. That's another reason to stay close to the deck.
The pilots nodded, though Rose noticed a few studying the ski speeders doubtfully.
Our objective is that cannon, Leia said. It's the only thing that can crack our front door, so let's try not to let it get in range. It's being towed by tug walkers. Squat, ugly, lots of legs. If we take the tugs out, the cannon stops. If we break the cables they're using to pull it, the cannon stops.
The pilots were listening intently now.
We've transmitted our message, Leia said. I don't know who will respond or when, but I do know we're not alone in this fight. And every minute of time we can steal from the First Order increases our chances. Any questions?
There were none. Poe stood next to Leia, eyeing his pilots. When she nodded at him, he stepped forward.
Well, I asked for a dozen T-85 X-Wings with cloaking devices, he told them. Guess they got held up in transit.
Nine Num laughed, but he was the only one. The others just stared stonily at Poe.
Still, you just heard that Red Squadron flew our birds, he said. I grew up hearing about those men and women and dreaming that maybe I could fly like them one day. Nobody thought those pilots had a chance either. And you know what they did? They took down a Death Star.
Rose smiled. So did a couple of the other pilots.
Good luck, Leia said. And may the Force be with you.
The pilots got to their feet and began donning helmets, checking headsets, and pulling on gloves. Meanwhile, Tex and Astromech started firing up the ski speeders. The sound of their engines rose from a low thrum to a steady whine. Poe climbed into the open-air cockpit of the first speeder in line. Finn was next, then Rose. She tightened the chin strap on her helmet, verified she was receiving the squadron channel, and checked her console. All systems were green, for the moment at least.
Everything good, Finn?
She asked. Finn turned and gave her a thumbs up.
Your comlink works, you know,
she replied. Another thumbs up. Fair enough.
Launching, Poe said. Follow my lead.
His ski speeder slid forward along the guide into the low chute at the end of the hangar and was lost from sight. But a moment later, everyone heard him yelling delightedly over the squadron channel. Rose, familiar with pilots, couldn't resist smiling. If nothing else, Poe would have one last ride behind a control yoke where he was happiest. Paige would have been crowing too, Rose knew. She touched her Automach medallion and smiled sadly.
If you're out there somewhere, Pepe, I could use your help.
Finn's speeder slid into the chute. Then Rose's jerked forward, hesitated, and began to advance more smoothly. Darkness enclosed her, and then the ski speeder began to move, the thrum of the engine rising to a roar as the walls of the chute blurred past her.
Well, here goes nothing.